just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV and the antimedia.org/radio. Really happy to be back alive and well on this Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. A lot of stuff to go over. I didn't get to make it on Monday. I believe DB and Jake may have, but took the day off, you know, Labor Day and all that good stuff. But that being said, there's all kinds of stuff going on, mostly with just nature, I guess. And then, of course, the news, always a ton of news coming out, especially recently with this insane Donald Trump news cycle, which just doesn't stop. It's completely overwhelming to people, including myself. But anyway, we're going to have kind of just an open platform today. I don't have anything in particular to talk about. We're going to be going over some of this hurricane stuff because I guess that's the big story of the month, or it appears like it's going to be the big story of the month. Three hurricanes right now. Going on there, you got Irma, you got, what's that one behind it, Jose, and then you got another one brewing up in the Gulf of Mexico. So three hurricanes going. I mean, this is just insane, especially because, you know, the U.S. hasn't had a, prior to Harvey, there wasn't like a super major strong hurricane that make landfall. They consider a major hurricane category 3 or higher. So, you know, people have been kind of lucky recently in, you know, the Gulf of Mexico and the, you know, down in the south on the Atlantic. They've been a little bit lucky. For years now, there haven't been really any major hurricanes, but maybe they're all going to make up for it this year. I mean, this is real nasty. Hurricane Irma is already going through the Caribbean, and it's literally flattening islands out. one island I read about, 90% of the buildings have been destroyed. I mean, this thing is a brutal hurricane, strongest, in fact, ever recorded in the Atlantic. So we're going to talk about that. Let me introduce my panel. We've got my longtime co-host, DB Schwartz, on the line. What's up, DB?
Hey, not much, man. You know, just watching the same thing as you and wondering if we're not seeing weather warfare. It's just they can't publicize it and it'll never be talked about. But, I mean, these things are all coinciding with the fires at the same time. I'm just waiting for a hammer to drop up here because we've been having, like, amazing weather.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that. Over here on the West Coast, we've got all these fires going on. There was one in L.A., but up in the Pacific Northwest especially, fires are blazing, and I guess the hurricanes have overshadowed the crazy amounts of fire going on. Our top story of the day yesterday on the anti-media was kind of talking about these fires. How the country's getting hit on both sides. The east, the southeast, and the northwest are getting hammered right now. Also joining us on the line is our awesome journalist, Jake Anderson, joining us from the Portland area. And Jake, you're actually experiencing some of that smoke and some of those fires up there. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's been it's pretty sad, actually. It's pretty historic. Trails have just been incinerated. But we're lucky it hasn't like hit the city or anything, but it has been very ashy and smoky. It's been kind of like that movie Silent Hill, where it's just like weird ashes dropping everywhere. And it's for people with asthma and whatnot. It's been just very, very poor air quality. But even more sad about is that this is just human error. I mean, they're pretty sure they caught the people that started, and it was just a bunch of people that were, in a forest at the Gorge Valley out here, and just giggling and shooting a bottle rocket off in the woods, and because of one bottle rocket, 30,000 acres are burning. Who knows how many animals. We're lucky there's been no deaths reported yet. But, never underestimate the damage of just mere human stupidity and error in all these things. Of course, with a hurricane, that's not human error. But let's hope it's not. Let's hope that's not weather warfare, as DB is talking about. But, yeah, it's pretty bad out here in terms of it's very palpably affected the mood of everyone out here, because it's just really historic nature area has just been completely burned down out in the Washington Gorge, or the Columbia River Gorge area, and then even sneaking up on the Willamette Valley, which is where I'm at. But there should be some wet weather coming in here soon, which could blot it out. But as of right now, it's 0% contained, so...
Wow, man, that's horrible. And, there is that, the one that's near you may have been man-made, but there's a bunch all over the Pacific Northwest. There's like, I don't want to overstep here, but there appears to be like hundreds of different fires from Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, Washington, bunch of them in Northern California. I mean, if you go check out the article on the anti-media, it's title is Photos as Hurricane Slams the South. As hurricanes slam the South, the western U.S. is literally on fire. Check out that first photo there. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of fires all throughout the West. I mean, it looks really bad. And I can only imagine, I'm sure a lot of these were caused by some idiots out in the forest goofing around. On the other hand, who knows how a lot of these started. I don't know how fires typically start, lightning or sparks, electrical, I don't know, human, people shooting off fireworks, having campfires, getting out of control, a bunch of different causes.
It's been really, really dry, too, from my understanding. Normally, this kind of stuff wouldn't spark this, but...
Yeah, historically,
With the ridiculous heat, it's just created that environment, and it's going on in Canada too. I mean, Canada is burning like this. It's crazy.
Well, it needs to be said that with the drier conditions and the higher temperatures, I mean, this is one of the effects of climate change. And it can't be said enough, because humans, if you want to talk conspiracy theories, humans are causing some of this stuff to happen, but it's our industrial gases that we're putting up in the air. It's trapping the ozone.
They just won't share that Tesla tech that we know they have, because we know they have it because of patent records.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the same as the oil in the Middle East. Where there's money, there's going to be industries going to follow, you know, and it's the same, you know, the industry is not going to stop pummeling this gas into the atmosphere until it's not profitable anymore. So somehow we're going to have to make it not profitable, and that's where you have to look to someone like Elon Musk as a kind of a trailblazer, as he's, you know, somehow got the government to invest in an electric car during the height of the recession. I mean, this guy knows how to sweet talk government and private sector at the same time. Now he's pushing us to Mars. He's, you know, bridging our mind with AI because he's so scared that AI is going to knock us out. I mean, there's some very real dangers, you know, these kinds of, you know, hurricanes and fires, they really show our human mortality, how quickly we could just be knocked out by something. So
we're so fragile compared to the Earth. I mean, people talk about the world ending, and I, you know, of course this year with that, the eclipse and all this crazy stuff happening, always you're going to hear this resurfacing of this apocalyptic, you know, talk, and people saying, well, is this the end times, you know, and whatever. The earth is not going to come to an end for many, many billions of years, until maybe if the sun somehow consumes the earth in some kind of massive explosion. When people talk about the apocalypse, it's like human beings getting wiped out. The earth isn't going to end anytime soon. The earth may dramatically change. The landscape may dramatically change. It may become barren. It may, maybe the ice melts and it becomes super hot. You know, but the earth isn't ending. The world's not ending. Human beings may come to an end. And the most likely scenario, at least in the near term, is that we end up wiping ourselves out with our own stupid behavior. And so this fire up there by you, Jake, is just a perfect example. Some idiot is out there lighting fireworks, and don't get me wrong, I love fireworks too, but you know, I shoot them at the beach. I don't shoot them off into some dry area where it's going to catch on fire. But
it's just common sense. You don't light a fire in a dry, brushy area. That's just a toddler should know that.
And it's a perfect example of just the way human beings have been treating the earth, man. We've been treating it like shit. And, you know, I don't know what is for sure, you know, driving these weather events, whether it's climate change, whether it's global warming, whether it's just randomly happening, whether it's some crazy people trying to control the weather, any of that stuff. But I found it pretty interesting that the hurricane came up and nailed Houston, which is one of the biggest sources of, you know, fossil fuel, you know, production. And I guess it's kind of like the refining hub where they process a lot of these fossil fuels, a lot of the gas and stuff like that. I found it very interesting that the hurricane wound up, you know, knocking Houston out of commission. Maybe another interesting angle to look at, and Jake, you actually wrote an article about this, about some people, experts saying that the universe may have consciousness. What if the Earth is trying to do some stuff to us to slow down our, you know, destructiveness? I mean, that's a whole nother question that I mean, it should at least be asked. I mean, it's an interesting topic. But I wanted to ask you guys, I mean, let's go back to DB. I mean, how much of this, of these weather events, do you think have to do with climate change? I mean, do you think this is, you know, is this climate, we're finally starting to see like hardcore effects of climate change? Because, you know, the flooding wasn't only here. The flooding is all across Africa. It's all across Asia. The flooding in India was like way, way worse than anything we saw here.
It was so bad in Bangladesh that it's actually kind of leading to what we're seeing now as a result, which is the, I believe, I don't know how you pronounce them, the Rohingya, whatever the people are, however you pronounce them, the Muslims that are, you know, they're in Bangladesh, and Bangladesh is basically starving, and they're just pushing out any ethnic minorities, and the Rohingya are one of them, and they're getting basically booted into Myanmar or Burma. and Burma and Myanmar, the Buddhists there are just, they're not having it. They're just like, we're not giving up any land to you. Like, you need to go back to Bangladesh. And of course it's creating genocide on both sides. So that's one example of where climate is creating a large amount of conflict between people that already kind of don't like each other. And another example of that is China can basically control India's water supply, a lot of it. A lot of the Himalayan mountains going down into the big Indian basin and the cities there, well, China technically owns the peaks, so they can mess with the water. I mean, you can see a lot of things on the horizon coming up, and weather wars are going to be part of it. Whether or not they're the cause of something like this, I mean, they don't have to be because it's right on time. They come every 10 to 15 years. So, I mean, it's it was supposed to be hitting before this, so this is kind of late. And I think we'll see more of these. Now, the truth of whether or not climate change is affecting these is if Irma does develop into something called a supercell, or I don't even know, it's beyond category 6, where the winds, you know, historically there's evidence that winds can reach 270 miles an hour. So if we can see something like that, where trees get uprooted and buildings can kind of start getting pulled apart, well, then we'll see climate change affecting these supercells.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. The weather manipulation angle has been kind of burned out by, like, the chemtrail conspiracy theorists, I guess, where, you know, it's been taken so far over the edge with so many of these guys that now it's just kind of a big joke when it comes to, like, talking about chemtrails and talking about not chemtrails, but geoengineering.
Geoengineering, yeah.
People actually manipulating the weather, which is a legitimate science. People do this all the time. They do cloud seeding. They were just, you know, they were doing cloud seeding in LA last year. They do cloud seeding all over the world. China does it. The US.
You can purchase it if you have enough money. If you're a farmer and you're making enough money, you're already doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, interestingly enough, long, long time ago here in San Diego, it was over 100 years ago, actually, there was this massive drought and all the farmers were going out of business, and they brought in this guy who claimed to be able to make it rain by funneling a bunch of chemicals up into the atmosphere. And he did. And then it rained so much that it busted through. It one of the dams failed and it flooded out. A bunch of people died. And, you know, that's kind of like a piece of history around here, especially down here where we're at in the South Bay. Because it really changed a lot of things here after that happened, and the guy kind of disappeared after that, and, you know, wasn't really heard from. But weather is very, very, very important, especially rain. Everybody needs rain. You know, looking back, many people say that the Egyptians first got powerful by predicting the weather patterns and being able to predict the rainy seasons and the flood season and all that stuff. To think that governments and powerful interests are no longer pursuing a means to better predict and control the weather would be completely naive. Like, it would be like, if you're one of those people that's like, well, chemtrail conspiracy theorists are so crazy that this whole idea of geoengineering is just batshit crazy, it's a conspiracy theory. Well, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Geoengineering is very real. It's very much going on. I don't know how much, like, to what extent it's going on at. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing you have to remember. Conspiracies can't get too big or they get whistleblowers. It's just kind of like a mathematical thing. The probability is that if you have a conspiracy going on for too long and too many people know about it, well, sooner or later somebody says something and the truth comes out about it. So do I think that they're going up there and spraying chemtrails up into the atmosphere to fill everybody up with aluminum in their brains to, like, depopulate the country? No, I don't think that, because if that was going on, well, there would be a whistleblower by now, because this is a program that's been happening for a long time. there'd be a whistleblower out there coming forward and saying, hey, guys, they're trying to kill you all with these airplane, you know, contrails. We would have heard about it by now. And, you know, there are people, photos come out. Oh, this is a chemtrail plant. Like, those photos were easily debunked. So this is one of the problems here, is that the genuine conversation about geoengineering is it's hard to have the genuine conversation, because these conspiracy theorists, I don't know if they're just being, I don't know if they're like, this is where the rabbit hole goes deep. Are these people just accidentally muddling the conversation, or are they is there purposely disinformation coming out to make the conversation seem just ridiculous?
It's a good question.
Well, there's incompetence, and then there's also, you know, what we know, which is deliberate people that are coming in and that are, they're basically straw men for any actual conversation. I mean, Netflix just put out a huge, much ballyhooed document called Unacknowledged with Dr. Stephen Greer. And I mean, it's just a total hack job, and it's just it's garbage, man. So they put out big productions all the time. I mean, Independence Day is a perfect one, selling the whole Roswell and Area 51 crap that anybody who researches it can debunk it. And that goes beyond conspiracy theories. It goes into stuff that's not even conspiracy anymore. It's just known. It's known that the military-industrial complex runs things. And they've taken over from the banks that had run things for like the last 20 to 30 years. And now as a result, we're going to go back on the war path. It's been a long time.
I think just
to chime in real quick on the, you know, I mean, you know, I love conspiracy theories. I mean, I would, you know, consider myself a conspiracy theorist. The problem I have with some of these chemtrail geoengineering conspiracy theories is that a lot of the people that are promoting them are using them to substitute for natural man-made, man-made climate change that's coming about through industry. So it's taking a very convenient way of explaining it, which is that there's a nefarious group that is controlling the world by poisoning us all, and they're using that to substitute very, very well documented evidence of climate change via carbon emissions. And it's taking a theory for which there's not much hard evidence, and it's using that to substitute for a theory for which there is monumental evidence. And I don't understand it. I don't understand this obsession with being on the fringe at all times. There's people, and we know them well, and we're friends with some of them. It's as if they immediately take the contrarian position. They cannot agree in any way, shape, or form with any mainstream view, with any establishment view, with anything that's happening, with any normal human condition that's even happening, or even normal human emotion. Everything becomes part of this conspiracy, this overarching conspiracy that is controlling everyone and everything that's ever happened. And it just gets to the point where it breaks down rational discourse, and it's becoming an impediment. You know, we have Rush Limbaugh saying that the hurricane is a liberal geoengineering thing. You know, it's just like, congratulations, chemtrail people. You're now on the same side as Rush Limbaugh. That's where you are now.
Yeah, I find it to be a very defeatist way of looking at things, where everything is a false flag. Everything is a conspiracy. Nothing that anybody says that is any way, shape, or form mainstream could be true. And so it's just like, well, just because CNN reports that climate change is real, well, then it can't be real, type of thing. It's just like, well, okay, well, that's just not a logical way of looking at things. I mean, I saw this firsthand, and I don't know if it's by design. Again, I don't know if it's by design or if people just take it to this extreme. But I don't know if you guys remember a while back when the whole Zika thing was like the scaremongering thing of the time. Claire Burnish, when she was writing for us, she actually wrote a article about just, it was just a correlation between the fact that the Brazilian government released these genetically modified mosquitoes in this area, and then shortly afterwards, that's where the Zika outbreak started happening, right? And so we wrote an article, very much just an article saying, hey, you know, this is an interesting coincidence, kind of just putting it out there like that. And then next thing you know, I shit you not, it's like the article's coming out like a day later where like, oh, the government of Brazil genetically modified mosquitoes to depopulate the entire Amazon basin with Zika virus so that they could drill out the oil. I mean, it was just like the craziest conclusions being connected off of something that was just a simple correlation that we wrote. And the next thing you know, it's like all these fact checkers and Snopes and, you know, PolitiFact and all these people are like, oh, look how crazy these GMO people are. They're saying that Zika is caused by this depopulation agenda going on with the GMO mosquitoes and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like.
Right. There's a reverse effect that happens.
Exactly. Like the some of these extreme conspiracy theories actually are doing more harm than good, because then you can't even have a conversation. You can't even have a conversation anymore about the GMO mosquitoes and whether or not they had anything to do with the spread of the Zika virus, because the conversation has already been ruined by these extreme, like these lunatic conspiracy theorists.
It's a very real issue within our group right now, within our community.
Jake, I'm with you, man. Like I entertain conspiracy theories too, because I'll tell you what, a lot of these conspiracies are legitimately happening. The most obvious one is the banking monetary system, the Federal Reserve, the banking system is a huge pyramid scheme. Yeah, that's a conspiracy that's completely real, and we know that there's a bunch of them. Bunch of conspiracies that are real. But it's hard to have a conversation when people are going to these absolutely insane conclusions where you can't even talk about it no more. Like, you can't have an honest conversation about chemtrails. We have not written an article on the anti-media about chemtrails, because you can't even have those conversations because it's been muddled.
They've made that word. It's like they play – it's the 1984 playbook, man. They played that word game where they associate one word. Now they'll associate another word with you being a racist, or they'll associate you with another word with, oh, you're not American, you're not patriotic. They play these word games, and honestly, like, people just need to – I mean, you can look it up. They've changed the definition of fascist. They've changed the definition of communist. They changed the definition over time, a lot of it since the 80s, and it's just, it's crazy, man. This, they know they can't fight the population of the U.S. while we have firearms. It's not going to happen. So instead, they're doing what they do now, which is a psy war against us.
And the headline story on New York Times and Washington Post, Russian firm bought $100,000 in political ads. $100,000? What are
That's it. Yeah.
What's that? Like 6 seconds of ad time?
Yeah. That would be like a 6 second CPM unit on Facebook.
This is hilarious. These guys, dude. These guys.
Who are these people? No, and you guys.
$100,000.
About the not to take us off conspiracy theories, but some of it, we'll get into the Hillary Clinton thing in a little while. I don't want to get into it.
Hillary's got a new book out. All right. Let's try to recollect here.
I think that book should win her the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yep.
She talks about how she, at one point she's saying, even as I write this, people doubt our marriage. Yet even as I write this, Bill is looking over my shoulder. Our dogs are at our feet. And Bill's talking about how he's going to reorganize our bookshelf for the fifth time tonight. Then in parentheses, he genuinely loves reorganizing the bookshelf. It's almost sad. It's like, I don't know why that occurred to me, but it's a sad attempt at humanizing something. And she just won't get off the stage, man. She's going on tour. She's going to be on tour.
that's a ghostwriter that loves their work.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that was just like humanize me at this moment. Yeah.
That's a ghostwriter in bed with him.
Like in the House of Cards when Kevin Spacey's sleeping with his security detail.
I could barely make it through a couple of episodes, dude. Sorry.
You got one of Bill's mistresses in there just writing the book for him. Okay, yeah. So before we go off into the abyss, something I did want to talk about, and we've touched on this last few shows. I've been really happy to have Derek Bros and Dan Johnson on the shows just to talk a little bit about, you know, how the government has been failing, if not only failing, impeding rescue efforts over in Houston and in the Texas area. FEMA's already basically out of money. They're going to be out of money by Friday. They're spending like $140,000 a minute, hour, something like that.
Is that because there's three hurricanes going on?
Yeah, no. So they were spending $155,000 a minute, $9.3 million an hour, and they basically started running out of money because they're throwing like just all kinds of money at the recovery down in Texas, right? And because of that, they're basically already broke, and now here comes Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Jose right behind it. And who knows where these things are going to make landfall. They're already wrecking Puerto Rico. They're saying some areas of Puerto Rico are going to be without power, not for days, not for weeks, but for months and months. Just imagine that. I remember we had a power outage here in San Diego for like 12 hours and people were losing their shit. Like, imagine for months. First of all, FEMA's already broke. Don't count on FEMA. If you're in the path of this thing, your best chance of surviving is relying on yourself and people close to you, your family and your friends. Figure out a plan, organize, stock up on supplies to survive on for at least a couple weeks, just in case. Don't procrastinate and don't think that it can't hit you. And in fact, you should be stocking up on stuff, even if you're not in directly in harm's way right now, because my brother was just flying out of Miami. In fact, I got to go pick him up from the airport after the show. And he was out visiting a friend in Florida, and dude, it's a panic. It's a panic. They're running out of gas at the gas station. He barely was able to get gas. You know, there's a rush on water. There's a rush on food. So if you're not already prepared ahead of time, there's a chance that you may go without clean water, without food or gas. These things should all be thought of before there's a catastrophe.
That's how you get into looting. That's exactly how looting happens, man, is that the people that are on shoestring budgets month to month, literally paycheck to paycheck, can't even come up with $5 or $10 a paycheck to start stockpiling stuff. So when these things hit, they go out and grab what they can, man, and I was seeing a lot of videos in Houston of people that were looting food. Of course, people took other shit, and those people are assholes. But the people that were taking food, man, and water, like, yeah, it sucks, and that sucks they're doing that. But, I mean, you do what you got to do to survive. But just prep, man, prep. Have at least a couple months of food and water if you can.
Dude, and when you're looting businesses, most of that crap is going to be claimed on insurance anyway. Like, it's not like they're going to drain the grocery store out and save a loaf of bread and then resell it. That's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Like, yeah.
Like, the cans of food, they're going to get rusty after a little while, and they're going to get thrown away. Like, when you're looting a grocery store for food, I don't even see anything wrong with that.
If the free market were ever really – had ever really an intention of playing the role that some people think they should, they would do that. They would take the food that they know is going to be not sold, and they would let people take it. It's called dumpster diving. Instead, they make it illegal to do that.
Or if they really cared, Jake, about the system they portend to be a proponent of, which is capitalism, it would just keep going down and down and down in price until it was free.
Okay. Explain that. Why would?
Well, I mean, you know, if things got older and older, then, you know, things would just keep going down and down and down in price. Like, instead, they just hawk it in the trash can.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. That's sad.
Like
though.
Food. Like Food for Less exists because everything they have is like within a week or two from spoiling, and the fact that you need to have a supermarket called Food for Less is just silly.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. So, you know, I guess that's the main thing. And we've been talking about this ever since the whole thing leading up to before the hurricane even hit Texas. We've been talking about preparedness, getting ready, preparing. I've stockpiled on plastic bottles. I'm going to go fill up a bunch of water tomorrow. You know, it's not too much, but, you know, several gallons worth of water and stuff and canned food that I've been storing up. Just in case. And, you know, we're in San Diego where they're basically – I can't remember a time when there's been a weather emergency here where I've actually been affected. You know, we've had wildfires and it was smoky and stuff, but it wasn't close enough to us where it was, like, threatening our houses or, you know, where we lived or anything like that. But even in a place where you don't think anything is going to happen, and I think many people in the city that live in cities have this attitude. It's like, well, it can't happen here. Well, unfortunately, in the city is where it's even worse, because when shit does happen in the city, well, that there's looting going on that's really bad looting, where it's not just some dudes rolling up to a grocery store and taking food. It's where it's almost, you know, it's dangerous out there. You can get killed and robbed. So being prepared and then being able to defend yourself and your survival, I mean, this stuff is crucial. And it may seem like, oh, this is prepper nonsense and this is just, you know, but it's going to keep you guys alive and well. And I've said this before, we need you guys listening to this show, the smart people, to survive. If not, the douchebags are going to be in charge again after some major catastrophes going on.
And just from sheer numbers, a whole bunch of idiots are going to make it through too.
Yeah. So, you know, being prepared, that's big, big stuff. getting ready, anticipating, knowing, seeing it coming. I mean, I tried to warn people about that one coming to Texas, dude, and not enough people were prepared for it. And then supporting grassroots organizations that are bringing relief. Dude, one of our guys working with us right now, Aaron Nelson, has been working with, you know, the relief effort, the grassroots relief effort going on in Texas. And now they're starting to shift over to Florida and stuff. Dude, these guys are saving thousands of lives. Like, literally, they're saving thousands of people. And they're going basically unnoticed. And, you know, we posted a meme about it on the page, and some douchebag on our Facebook page was like, well, why don't you go do something? Why don't you go volunteer and help instead of posting memes about it? And I lost it, dude. I'm like, dude, you fucking asshole.
We go find that one.
About it, and so shut your ass up. But anyway, dude, yeah. Just annoying ass people.
You have to really be an annoying prick to get Nick to snap at you on Facebook.
Why don't you buy a big diesel truck and a big ass mud boat and drive out there, Nick?
Dude, get off the internet.
Why didn't you vote for Trump, you son of a bitch?
you stupid son of a bitch. Go vote for Trump.
Oh, man. Hey, is Obama getting blamed for this thing yet?
I don't know. He's going to probably put out a heartfelt tweet that, you know, takes about 15 minutes to read, I'm sure.
Yeah, he'll have his literary agency.
Let me be clear. Yeah. This is going to be a 14-part tweet.
Make no mistake.
Oh,
if I was in charge, you guys would be sucking me off even more.
Yeah. He has a way of he was down there helping out with one of the hurricanes. He has a way of, I mean, it's all PR. I mean, with these politicians, then they're basically celebrities, and especially an ex-president. I mean, he's a celebrity at this point. He's got handlers and managers telling him what to do to look good, and because he's going to be the face of the Democratic Party for the next two decades at least. So you got to expect it, you know. I mean, look, it's not his fault if he just happens to sound 1,000 times smarter than the current president. That's not his fault. There's nothing he can do about that.
Well, I know he's just a superior actor. I mean, there's just no question.
He's a better. Well, I don't know. I would consider both him and Trump actually pretty genuine in the way they act. They're being who they are. Obama just happens to be incredibly intelligent when it comes to rhetoric, and Trump happens to be a maniacal businessman. They're good at what they do.
Yeah, I was gonna say Obama seems genuinely much smarter than Trump, at least on a social level. Maybe Trump's a better businessman. I don't know. I don't know if Obama is a businessman at all. But yeah, I mean, Obama's obviously a smarter dude. But you know, I've been throwing these ideas around a little bit, and it's kind of like, you know, Trump is a more honest reflection of this country, I think. Obama's like the exceptional, you know, you meet someone every now and then that's like really smart and like well spoken and like seems to be like really nice and is almost seems like perfect. You know, every now and then you'll meet someone like that. But Trump is like the more average douchebag, violent, racist American, which is kind of the, you know, middle of the road American at this point. And, you know, with Obama, we were lying to ourselves, acting like, oh, we got Obama and we're so sophisticated and the world loves us and, you know, we're so cool. At the same time, these policies of globalism, I don't know what to call it exactly, but just the policies that have been permeating throughout the world, this neoliberal globalism, I guess, is the most accurate way we could call it. Those policies are backfiring, dude. Like Trump is a reaction to that. There's stuff going on all around Europe that's a reaction to that. There's stuff going on
in Australia is now really, really, really getting like that.
Australia, Asia, Japan,
Greece.
Well, it's because jobs, if you really want to boil it down, it's just automation's killing the shit out of jobs, dude. And they're just, and people keep having way more kids than just them and their spouse. They're way, way more producing than just replacement. So, I mean, where the hell are we all going to go?
People, you don't need more than three kids, for God's sakes.
You don't need more than two kids, dude.
Two is enough. But if you're going to have a third, have a third. But come on, when you start having a fourth and fifth kid, get over yourself. The world does not need that much of your DNA.
We need to start taxing people to have over a certain amount and then giving them incentive to have less.
What is this, China?
Go back. No, China would just take your baby and throw them off a roof, dude. Come on.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's Chinese policy. That's the Chinese policy. Yeah, the second kid, you actually drop kick off of a building. Yeah.
That's the flying baby girl program. Didn't you hear about that, Jake?
You voted for Obama, you America-hating liberal.
I know, oh, you boy. Son of a – you voted for a guy that we don't even know where the hell he's from.
I voted for him twice, too. I got really taken in.
Are you an anti-fascist Nazi? You asshole.
I'm Antifa. That's my new name, actually, is Antifa.
There you go. Jake, I don't know, man. North Korea's got the H-bomb now. You guys hear about that?
Well, they've had it for a while, but yeah, they can load it now.
Tested it. It's their biggest nuclear test yet. And the H-bomb is a true
Where did they get that ICBM technology? That's in WikiLeaks.
Yeah, I don't know, but, you know.
It's fucked up. They got it from Hillary, dude.
Really?
Yes, they did.
Well, the thing I do know is that the H-bomb makes you basically untouchable, right?
It does if you have ICBMs, because then even if you get invaded, you can fire off how many you have and end the world.
Yeah. So, I don't know which way to slice this. I mean, obviously I'm against nuclear weapons. I think weapons of mass destruction should be destroyed and they shouldn't be produced any longer, but that's just not realistic. The world, as long as we have these, this current paradigm where the world's vying for each other's resources and people like killing each other and going to war and shit, well, they're going to keep developing these nasty weapons that can kill everybody. That being said, I kind of see this as maybe it'll prevent a war. And, you know, Justin King made an interesting status update about this the other day. He said, well, name the last time two nuclear powers went to war against each other, like on a large scale. And you can't really name one. I mean, there's been a few skirmishes between Pakistan and India. There's been recently a border skirmish between China and India. All three of those are nuclear powered, but you don't see them like lobbing missiles at each other because it's mutually assured destruction. And now North Korea has joined that club. And I think that's also why you don't see Israel and Iran going up to bat against each other either. Because at a certain point, everybody has to accept, okay, well, if we go to war with these guys, well, everybody dies. And nobody is suicidal on that kind of scale. Sure, there's some lunatics here and there. Even Kim Jong-un is pretty, you know, he's pretty crazy. Donald Trump is pretty crazy. But I don't think either of these guys are suicidal. Neither one of them want to go down as the guy that caused World War III. So I'm looking at this from like somewhat of a contrarian view where it's like, okay, well, you know, North Korea has the H-bomb now. It's like, what now can we really do? We can't do anything anymore, and that may be a good thing. You know, and so that's the other big geopolitics news. We got a story coming out, should be tomorrow, about what's going on in Syria. You know, Syria has kind of fallen off the map on the mainstream media. You're not really seeing it in the news anymore. And that's because the Syrian government is actually defeating ISIS, and the U.S. has kind of taken a backseat role because we pulled out
our CIA operatives from there.
Yeah. Yeah, our agenda.
And guess who did that? I hate him, but who did that? Trump.
Yeah. you know, and the U.S. had a longstanding policy of regime change in Syria, and it's not that they didn't try, but it's just that it failed. And so they had to give it up because it just became a failing policy. And now the Syrian government is mopping up ISIS. ISIS is almost all the way kicked out of Syria now. And they're going to be in Iraq and the Peshmerga and the Kurds are going to be kicking their ass, from now until they're done. But you know, that's the other thing that we're not really hearing about on geopolitics is the Syrian thing. Syrian government really taking the upper hand over there, backed by Russian air power. They just took another one of ISIS's towns, and a military base. Broke a siege on a town. I mean, ISIS's days are numbered in Syria.
I think that kind of doesn't that kind of tell you how uninformed geopolitically Trump voters are, that they're not pouncing on that as a talking point in behest of Trump. Trump pulled the plug on the CIA doing their little proxy war in Syria, and all of a sudden things are going much better over there. You would think that they'd be touting that. Instead, they don't even know that it happened.
Yeah, all of a sudden ISIS is getting his ass kicked. But they're not going to know that because Washington Post isn't reporting it. New York Times isn't reporting it. They're reporting on $100,000 of Facebook ads by some Russian company.
Jesus Christ.
Which is just some ridiculous, like as if $100,000 in ads. Hold on, I need to be reminded. How much did that election cost?
It's like a trillion.
Billions and billions of dollars did that election cost?
I think it was it was the first $2 billion election or something.
Yeah, it was $2 billion.
$2 billion election, and they're trying to say $100,000 in Facebook ads swung there.
It has the word Russia in it, so that they're going to roll with it.
I mean, it's laughable, dude. It's laughable. Someone should go slap the editor up that wrote that, that allowed that to be published. Anyway, so keep an eye on that stuff. North Korea, I guess North Korea may go quiet in the news now that they got the H-bomb, but there's not much left that can be done. Maybe a coup or something like that, but we can't really invade them now. Now they're invade-proof because they drop a H-bomb on Seoul and there goes 10 million people and, you know, there goes World War III. So I don't think we can really do that. And there's been plenty of reporting recently. So one I liked a lot out of The Intercept was just typical you know, honest reporting. The trick to not starting a war with North Korea is not attacking them, because if you look honestly, if you take an honest look, an honest translation at North Korean statements, everything they say is defensive. Everything they say is, well, if you guys do something to us, then we're going to light Los Angeles on fire. We're going to drop a nuclear bomb on San Francisco. That what they're not saying, we're going to attack you guys and wipe your cities out. They're saying, if we're attacked first, we will retaliate as strongly as we can. That's almost every single one of their statements. That's what they say.
Well, Nick, and another article on The Intercept explained how North Korea has basically said it's possible that they'll relinquish, that it's possible they'll negotiate on the nukes, that they're open to that. But the Washington Post won't report it. It won't report that, you know, they're open to that, you know, and they're trying to build this up. You know, they're trying to fan the flames of war. But this time around, the military industrial complex is coming back to the media and saying, look, this probably isn't a good idea this time. We spent 15 years sucking oil out of the ass of Middle East instead of, you know, denuclearizing North Korea. Now we're kind of screwed.
Yeah, dude, there's so much dishonest reporting. And the worst part is that the Washington Post has somehow tried to position itself as like the opposition to Trump, you know, the quote unquote resistance. And then Hillary Clinton as like their cheerleader. And you know, it's kind of like, it's almost like, it's hard to distinguish the difference between the Washington Post and Hillary Clinton, the Democratic establishment at times. So yeah, dude, I mean, this is some interesting geopolitics stuff. The U.S. is kind of losing its leverage. I guess we can't really do anything about North Korea now. At least hopefully we don't, because if we do, that'd be just probably the worst geopolitical decision ever made, maybe. And then we can't do anything about Syria. Trump is extending the war in Afghanistan, which is just everybody knows. Anybody honestly looking at the war in Afghanistan knows that it's not winnable. They're doing it, I don't know, just to do it, or just for the pharmaceuticals and the opiates. I don't know. Everybody knows that that's not a war that we could win. And, you know, it looks to me like, dude, you know, the U.S. has lost almost all of its power to project its strength around the world. I can't really name one place right now where we're doing anything where we're like, quote unquote, fucking shit up. I can't really point to a place and say, oh damn, yeah, the U.S. is really tearing it up in Iraq right now. We're not. The Kurds are tearing it up in Iraq. The Syrian government is tearing it up in Syria. North Korea is testing H-bombs. We can't touch them anymore. All these things that we've been trying to do and contain and engineer around the world, overthrowing the Syrian government and stuff like that, you know, putting a puppet government in Yemen, none of it seems to be working right now. Iran is stronger than it's ever been. In fact, we've got a great op-ed on the site about how Iran may have actually drew Saudi Arabia so deep into Yemen that their economy is on the verge of collapse because they've been stretched so thin. And they're over there fighting with guys who are fighting with like sticks and AK-47s and very rudimentary weaponry. And, you know, Saudi Arabia has got the most advanced weaponry available because they buy billions of dollars of it off of the United States and England. And they can't beat a couple of dudes. It's almost like how the U.S. just can't beat the Taliban. The Saudi Arabians can't beat the Yemeni rebels. They're very similar people living up in some hills, living in caves. Can't beat them. So our ability and our allies' ability to project themselves around the world has been diminished. And China has been strengthening economically, militarily. The whole chessboard has shifted in just recently.
Hey, Nick, before we run out of time, I want to plug tomorrow's show.
Yeah, go for it, dude.
Oh, we're finally going to have Lou Colagiovanni on, who thinks that we should attack North Korea. Now, I don't know if his position will have changed. now that they have a hydrogen bomb with an ICBM. But he thinks it'd be the first morally justified war. He writes for the since World War II. He writes for Occupy Democrats. He's written for the anti-media. He's going to be on the show tomorrow night. I'll be hosting. We're going to have Claire on to debate him, as well as DB. And you're welcome to call in, Nick, if you want. But everyone should tune into that show, because it's going to be some real fireworks going off. I mean, this debate's been 3 weeks in the making, and Lou and Claire are going to eat each other's faces off. I'm telling you that right now.
That sounds interesting, and that sounds like a realistic expectation as well. That sounds like it's going to be entertaining. You know, this H-bomb thing is a really big new development too. So I'm interested to hear what he has to say about that and how he's going to incorporate that into his argument, because I mean, how do you go and attack North Korea when they got that H-bomb? Or they could put it, who knows?
Yeah, it's nothing less than psychotically risky to the surrounding countries to go attack North Korea right now.
Yeah. And China, you know, China, for what it is, it's made its position very, very clear on this. China said if North Korea is attacked preemptively, China will actually step in and protect North Korea. But then it said if North Korea attacks somebody else preemptively, well, North Korea, China will step in and help take out North Korea, the North Korean government. So I think
thank God for China.
Yeah, the bar is you know, the line is drawn pretty clearly in the sand, where if we go in and preemptively attack, then China, we're going to be at war with China. So that just is another one of those situations where we don't really want to find ourselves in, because look, we can't even win in Syria. We can't even win in Afghanistan. How in the world do these people think they could win against China? That's just, it's unrealistic.
We're just not winning anymore.
Even for, yeah. They're... All right, Donald Trump. Yeah. But yeah, dude, I mean, literally, you can't win these wars. And so it's time to be more realistic and say, you know what? We're not going to win these wars. Let's do what Europe's been doing. Let's just focus on the home front. Let's make life good for our people. Let's deal with the issues we have back at home. And let's just be more peaceful with the world. Stop trying to control everybody and let countries do their own thing. And we'll trade with them if we can.
Educate people. The most important thing that could possibly be done right now is to educate young people for what's going to be the biggest cataclysmic change in the economy that we've seen in hundreds of years. I mean, possibly since Gutenberg and the printing press, or at the very least since steam power. Times are going to change, and people need to be educated. And if it takes, you know, universal education, then so be it. But if we're gonna, like you guys have always said, if we're gonna have this government here looting money off of the public, let's at least put it back into the public good instead of using it for war.
Yeah, dude, the Industrial Revolution was a big event. Now we're coming up on this artificial intelligence revolution, and it's going to change everything. Jake, you also had a great article up on the Anti-Media today about AI, Elon Musk's latest prediction. Make sure you guys go check that out, and then check out tomorrow. We'll be back with the debate about North Korea, and be safe out there. You're in the Bay of the I'm on my clock like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing, but call it a reality, cause there's no illusion. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am the host of Anti-Media.